Good morning. Let's continue our study of The Master Speaks by Joel Goldsmith. And the second half, or the other half, of Chapter 7, God. All right, last week we left off about here. Do not be concerned with the things of the world, whether they be a house, a home, money, a job, or an opportunity. Be concerned only with the realization that God is fulfilling itself as your individual experience. That God, the consciousness of your being, is always appearing as the form necessary to your unfoldment. Keep your thought steadfastly on God. Keep your thought continuously on the source and substance, and not on the effect in which or as which God is to appear. And that would be seeking first the kingdom of heaven, and then all those things, home, job, opportunity, will be added unto you. Money will be added unto you. Now, the next section here is omnipresence, omnipotence, and ever-availability of God. Think of that, ever-availability. Well, then why do people get stranded and they pray and nothing happens? It is because of universal belief. Most people, or a lot of people, let's say, pray to God, "Dear Father, please send me some money. I have to pay the mortgage payment, and I've been laid off. I have no income, and the measly funds I get from unemployment aren't going to cover it. Plus, I have groceries and medical bills, and my child is in school, private school, because I don't like the public schools." And that's how we pray. Now, there's a couple things wrong with that kind of prayer. First is the belief, the universal belief, that God has these things and is holding on to them for some reason and won't let go, won't let me have them. So God is withholding. And the second thing is, I believe, the universal belief believes, that I lack. I'm limited. I don't have these things. Send them, please. Now I ask in a nice way. You'd think that he would respond. That kind of prayer has been tried for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years. It doesn't work. Well, then what are we supposed to do? Well, he'll tell you. Joel says, omnipresence, omnipotence, and ever-availability of God. The secret of this principle, with which we are working, called the Christ principle, is the omnipresence, omnipotence, and ever-availability of God. That's the Christ principle. What is Christ? Do you know Christ? Do you know because you read it? Or do you know by experience? Christ in you, your hope of glory. Christ is the presence within you, within your consciousness, not within your body, within your consciousness. Your body is also within your consciousness. And when you live in Christ, Christ appears outwardly as your body, as your home, as your automobile, as your substance, as your income, as your outgo. And it's always fulfilling, and it's always on time. The entire message of the Infinite Way can be summed up in the words omnipotence, omnipresence, and ever-availability of God. That means God's always available. Then why do I pray to him like he's far off? It is because I haven't yet experienced his presence right here, right now. And so I'm doing the best I can. But the best I can sometimes is not enough. Well, what then? What needs to happen? I need to practice the steps as Joel laid them out. He said, begin with living the infinite way, and then practicing the presence, and then the art of meditation. Go through those three books with an eye for what you need to practice. Maybe you'll take a highlighter or make a little note. You know, the lawyers give you those pages with arrows that stick on them. You could do that. And find every principle that you're supposed to be practicing. When Joel says, before stepping out the door in the morning, realize that God is just as much on the other side of the door as he is on this side. He means to practice that. Live it. Do it. And as you practice the presence, remembering that the presence is within you and with you, then you can add to that meditation. And by practicing the presence and practicing meditation, you will come into an experience of God. Now, it might be brief, it might be fast, it might make you say, was that it? Was that God? And I'm here to tell you that when you experience God, the form will follow, or the forms, whatever's needed in your lifespan will come automatically. These are the added things by seeking the presence and practicing meditation. Now, once you've begun to experience God, you have a wonderful meditation in which you feel very filled with peace, with my peace, and there's this feeling. You feel the descent of the Holy Spirit. You can feel it. Now you're beginning to experience this omnipresence, omnipotence, and ever-availability of God. That is the whole of it. Once you have attained the consciousness of the presence of God, you can take all the Infinite Way writings and throw them away, or give them away. You will no longer need them, because you will have the essence of their teaching, the understanding of the infinite nature of God, its omnipotence and ever-availability. Now, the whole purpose of the Infinite Way is to lead you back within yourself so that you may experience God. You may have the God experience. I've noticed here lately, people that try and try and try to have this God experience and don't have it and complain about it, it is probably because they're trying too hard. This whole thing will come to you. My own shall come to me. If you practice meditation, not straining and struggling and having the veins on your neck stick out and poke out, red-faced, no. No, it comes in a moment ye think not. It comes in a way ye know not of. My thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. But it's his thought, its thought, that heals. Any and every situation, if you attain enough of a God experience, it will dissolve, and harmony will be revealed. Harmony will appear in its place. This sense of God's presence and power is the principle that you will want to give your children, or your patient or student. It must be built into the fiber of the child's consciousness from morning to night. The person who once catches the consciousness of the presence of God never again has any excuse to violate or any moral or ethical principle of life. Yeah, why would you steal when you have infinity? Why would you cheat when you have infinite, eternal companionship? Why would you go into hospital and have several operations when you have eternal life, my life? The real principle of life is this: your own will come to you. Your own state of consciousness will always be made manifest as your experience, and no man can take that away from you. No man can take your consciousness from you any more than he can take your knowledge of mathematics or music from you. If you know music and you know how to read notes, who can take that from you? Nobody. If you understand trigonometry or geometry, who can take that understanding from you? No man. And so if you experience God, you have a God experience, first in your meditation and later while walking around, who can take that from you? Nobody. The greater the awareness of God which you attain, the greater degree of desirable things and persons will appear in your outer world. And so you don't go out into the outer world and seek these things. You don't go seeking a companion. You don't go seeking fortune. You don't go seeking great health. No, you turn within. You seek God. You seek the kingdom of God, the realm of God, the principles of God. And you practice those, and then the harmony appears out here. I know it's hard to get that across, but once you've practiced these principles and seen it appear your life is forever changed, because now you have the secret of life. And it's eternal. It will never change. These things and persons will be your own consciousness appearing to you, looking at your present state of affairs. You might say, then I have a very poor state of consciousness. Well, that may be so. In that event, it is up to you to acknowledge that and change it. It is up to you to change it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, the conscious awareness of God. See, the kingdom of God, the realm of God, is your conscious awareness. Seek this consciousness of God and make it an ever-increasing awareness. God is here in its infinity, but we attain that consciousness only in a measure. What the measure is up to us. That's a hard pill to swallow, isn't it? Everyone on earth has, potentially, the same consciousness as Jesus Christ. It is infinite. It is here, and it is awaiting us. The question is, are we willing to put in the hours of devotion? Are we willing to make the effort required to train ourselves to be conscious of the presence of God instead of seeking some form in which God is to appear? Now, he said, put in the hours of devotion. Now, willingness is fantasy unless put into action. So if you say, I'm willing to walk down to the grocery store, you're not, until you get up and actually do the walking. Then you are willing. The funny thing is, a man told me a long time ago, a man I love very deeply, he said, we are going to have to will our will away. Now that's dying daily, isn't it? We have to will our will away. And so if you're thinking in terms of forms, you're not willing your will away, you're practicing your will. If you think in terms of, how can I become silent, so silent that I hear the Master within? And incidentally, there's only one Master, and it's not a man that lived 2,000 years ago, and it's not the man that wrote this book, and it's not the man talking to you. The Master, the only Master, is within you. It is your very own consciousness. That is the Master. That is Christ. That is the presence of God. I don't know how I got off on that tangent, but instead of seeking some form in which God is to appear, we need to train ourselves to be conscious of the presence of God. That there is the whole secret. It is up to us. Yes, who trains you? You. If we can rely wholly on the principle, on consciousness, we can attain the consciousness of the Christ, or the conscious awareness of the presence of God. Now, who's going to train you? You have to put in the hours of devotion. You have to read the book, Practicing the Presence. You have to remember when you sit down to eat or drink, silently within yourselves, or out loud if you have a family that prays, you have to say, "Thank you, Father, for your substance appearing as this food. Thank you for your ever availability." You have to practice saying to yourself, "As I walk into this bank, everyone I see is the presence of God appearing as form." You have to actually do this. This is the only way to gain the consciousness of the presence of God. And it takes hours. And Joel says the first year or two is work. Hard work. We don't remember. We forget more than we remember. But if we persist, if we put in the hours of devotion, then when we sit down to meditate, we're putting in more hours, aren't we? We're going to meditate. We're going to be silent. We're going to stand still. We're going to be still and know God. Okay, so that takes work for the first year or two, but after that, you're used to it. It's almost a habit with you. And nobody can take that from you. And so as you walk in the world, you walk with the presence, consciously aware of the presence with you. Instead of just going downtown to see where the sales are, or investing in the most promising investment firm. It becomes a way of life, a way of life that becomes your outer experience, and that is an outer experience of harmony. No man could ever steal after he has caught the consciousness of God as his supply. No man would ever murder if once he caught the consciousness of God as eternal life, as the life of individual being. You see that? The consciousness that God is the reality of our being dispels every condition leading to sin, disease, and death. The cause of the world's troubles is this sense of separation from God. And the antidote for the world's troubles is the conscious awareness of God as omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, the reality of being. So there you have it right there. There's the whole cause, the whole reason for suffering, and the whole reason for freedom, given in one sentence. Yes, but reading over it and saying, "That's a lovely chapter. I like that chapter." And reading it and saying, "Now, what is it telling me I must do? Do. What must I do?" Now, when you read it with that in mind, you will find several principles that you must take in your hands, take in your consciousness, and live, practice. When we worship persons and personalities, whether we do so in the form of a religious character, national or international characters, we are laying the foundation for our own destruction. Only in the degree that we can realize God as a universal presence, as an impersonal and impartial presence, as the life of all, as the mind and soul of all, as the consciousness of all being, can we overcome the conditions of this world. Only in the degree can we overcome this world. You see, many, many times in this chapter he lays down things for us to do, things for us to participate in, things for us to know in our meditation. Is not the teaching of one God, and that God omnipotent and omnipresent, the only religious teaching that can end the quarrels among churches? And not only religious warfare, but all other warfare. The antidote for war is the realization of God as individual presence and power, God as our individual experience. Now, can you imagine if Zelensky and Putin suddenly had this experience, that God is the only presence? Well, it would become absurd to try to kill this presence, appearing as the opposite of what you are. It would be just ridiculous, wouldn't it? It would stop immediately. I'm sorry, I didn't know what I was doing. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It really is the antidote for all the world's troubles. All right. This realization brings an awareness of spiritual power. Once we, as individuals, have proved that there is a spiritual power which heals our personal ills, lacks, and limitations, we shall begin to see that there is a spiritual power which can overcome any evil in human society. The next section is, God appears as teacher, healer, and savior. Consciousness is infinite. Consciousness manifests itself as individual being, your being and my being. If I tell you that consciousness has manifested itself as my particular being, and as any particular state of consciousness, and that consciousness through me or as me is imparting to you this truth, you will probably agree. I first learned of this principle, God appearing as our need fulfilled, when I was very young. I think I was 16 or 17, and I decided to I was given a invitation to go up to Canada from Los Angeles. So I stuck out my thumb and I hitchhiked up into Canada to a tiny section called Horseshoe Bay. And then I took a ferry to another tiny section. And the reason why I bring this up is because on the way there I had no idea really where I was going. I knew that it was called Seashelt, but I didn't know how to get there. And riding the bus, not thinking much, there was a young girl about my age who seemed rather friendly. I asked her about it, and she took me by the hand and led me right to the Greyhound bus station, where there was a bus going to Seychelles. Now, people like that appeared to me. It was my own consciousness appearing. When I got to the water where I was supposed to pick up a water taxi, I was there was none going anywhere that day. So I spent the night, and in the morning there was a fisherman there with his wife, and they made me breakfast. It was amazing. My own consciousness appearing as fulfillment. I didn't know any of these people, but my consciousness knew what I had need of, and it appeared. I had already read The Art of Meditation and Practicing the Presence. I wasn't very good at it, but I practiced it the best I could back then. And it was wonderful to see my own consciousness appearing as my need fulfilled. If you can sit in your office or home and help someone else, you will agree that that consciousness imparting itself to you as truth, as spiritual power, was that which enabled you to help your patient, neighbor, friend, or relative. Now, let me carry this one step further and show you that consciousness is manifesting itself as individual being within my consciousness and yours. God is manifesting itself as your individual being. If you are conscious of it, if you are unconscious, you're not conscious of it, you're conscious only of what the five physical senses show you, then no. You must practice the presence. You must practice meditation. From there, you gain a sense of God's presence, your very own consciousness. And from there, you can experience it while walking around, as I did in Canada. Therefore, every moment of the day and every moment of the night, God is imparting itself to you, within you, in an individual way, in some individual sense of person or power, as guidance and direction, and as a healing agency, as well as a supporting and supplying agency. Yes. That last one seems to be particularly difficult for people. That God is my supply. Remember, Joel said, love will pay my bills. That's fabulous. You have no idea how fabulous that is. Until you practice and see it's true. When you practice it and become consciously aware of it, you have the truth that sets you free. At no time are you without your teacher and healer. God is manifesting itself as your consciousness, as teacher, and as healer. Wherever you go, with or without a human being, with or without a book, you are carrying in your consciousness God's manifestation of its own being as teacher, healer, supplier, protector, savior. Now that's true. But repeating it to yourself will not make it true. you have no ability to make these spiritual principles true. But you can practice relying on them. You can practice relying on the great infinite invisible. You can practice relying on your consciousness. And then you'll begin to get glimpses of it working in your life. And then it leaves the books. And as Joel said, you can give the books away. Because once you have the presence, the conscious awareness of the presence, you have infinity. You have every need fulfilled. Provided you don't get in there and try to mess with it yourself. Oh, I'm going to be short. I better take a second job. Maybe you're right, maybe you're not. A better way would be, God is my supply. Open the door through which I am to go. And watch. Rest back in that conscious awareness and watch. The door will open almost by itself, without any pushing and shoving and struggling. It's really a wonderful way to live. A wonderful, infinite way. Whether it appears within you as the idea of some personality in the past, present, or future, whether it appears to you as an externalized teacher or teaching, whether it appears to you as a position or as an investment, please remember this. God is omnipresent in your consciousness as individual form, as individual individuality, at all times and in all places. God is present within you as your teacher, as your teaching, as your companion, as your everything of this existence. At this moment, I am thinking more particularly, he says, in terms of teacher and healer, since what appears outwardly to you as teacher or teaching is not that at all. Teacher and teaching are God manifesting in your own consciousness as divine idea. Now you see this when you perhaps go to a bookstore and you're just casually looking about and there is a book, exactly what you need. You don't know it at the time, but it kind of calls to you. Almost like it's vibrating on the shelf. You take it down, you look inside. Yes, this is right. And you pay for it and go home and read it and learn spiritual principles which you are to practice. Not to change God, not to make God start flowing in your life. No, God is omnipresent now and here. It is coming into the conscious awareness of that principle. God is here and now. And the conscious awareness of that brings you into the kingdom of heaven on earth. It has always been present in your consciousness, awaiting your recognition, and it will always be there, manifesting in whatever form is necessary, to the extent in which you are willing to recognize God manifest as divine idea within you, and you are not afraid if that divine idea appears to you in some form which you have not heretofore experienced. You can't draw outlines for God. You can, but he won't fulfill them at your command. But you can rest back, practicing the principle which will bring to your conscious awareness omnipresence, omnipotence, and the ever-availability of God. Once you have that, you are the Son of God, the offspring of God, God manifested as form. Consciousness never dies. Think about that. Whatever consciousness you attain here, whatever conscious awareness of the living presence of God you attain, never, ever dies. If you come back 100 times, you will have the conscious awareness of this presence, and it will deepen and deepen and deepen. You know, people say some silly things. They say, well, I'm not a saint, I'm only a human being. Well, okay, you just locked yourself into lack and limitation. The truth is, if you have the conscious awareness of God, even if it's only little glimpses at first in your meditation, that is a saint. That is someone with the consciousness of the presence of God. It may be just beginning to blossom, but it is that which makes you a saint. And being a saint is not that special. It's not about being perfect or being good. It's about having the conscious awareness of your Father. So consciousness never dies. The consciousness of any and every individual never dies. Individual consciousness never disappears from the face of the globe. Therefore, that consciousness which is known as Jesus Christ, or Krishna, or Buddha, that consciousness which is known as any great religious spiritual light or character, is omnipresent within you, and may appear to you at any moment that you open your consciousness. It may take the form of words or thoughts, but do not be surprised if it appears to you as a person, the very image and likeness of some spiritual being. Consciousness may appear to you as the form of what you conceive to be Jesus Christ, or any other great spiritual leader, but it will not be the form of any of them, as their forms were known on earth. It will be their form as God made their form, and it will be visible to you in proportion to your interpretation of it. If you have been a Christian from birth, it may well appear to you as the form you have seen in pictures or paintings of the Master, Christ Jesus. On the other hand, if you have been reared in the Hindu teaching, it may become visible to you as Krishna or Buddha. If you have come by way of Judaism, it may appear as what the world called Moses. But whatever the form, it would merely be your interpretation of the Christ, or Christ consciousness. You see? So if you're sitting in meditation, and you remember the transfiguration, and suddenly that light, that bright, beautiful light of Christ appears to you, you will know it is your very own consciousness. You know, we live in our consciousness, and so if we do not like what we see, it's because we need to work to bring in the presence of God in our consciousness, in our conscious awareness. and then that which you do not like will dissolve. And the light harmony will appear. We say these things over and over, don't we? But we need to hear them over and over. We have these great forgetters called the human mind, and it forgets these things. Like when I decided, okay, I'm going to practice the presence. I'm going to start right now. And the next thing I know, it's bedtime, and I haven't practiced the presence. I sat down to eat a very fulfilling dinner. I totally forgot. Maybe I went to the store. I totally forgot. He tells you, if you go somewhere, to remember not only that God consciousness is your driver in your car, but it's the driver in every car. Things like that, that we should be practicing. And then we get ready for bed and realize, oh no, I forgot again. That's this great forgetter. But be not afraid. It is I, and I will help you. The more you practice, the more I help you. On the other hand, it may not come in the form of a person. It may come as ideas, words, or statements of truth. But in your own thought, do not limit the forms of expression, and do not rule out anything as impossible, because God is infinite, and God has a way of appearing infinitely. The Bible is full of references to God as light, but it also emphasizes the fact that God is truth. Therefore, God can just as well appear as a sense or statement of truth as a sense of light. But do not forget that God or truth has always appeared on earth as an individual. God can appear to us in any form. Well, that's good to know. I found out that God can appear as a engine in my car, or at least as a harmonious engine, as the harmony. God is infinite individual being. God is omnipresent as your individual consciousness. This omnipresence may appear to you in any form which your consciousness can accept. Do not limit the form in which truth, guidance, health, healing can come to you, because God is infinite in its activity. God is infinite in form and appearance. Accept the truth that God can appear to you individually. God can appear to you within your own consciousness. God can appear as teacher, healer, savior. God can appear as direction, wisdom, guidance. Accept God in any form in which he may appear to you in your consciousness when you are in the silence. Why? Why silence? Because silence is not an absence of sound. Silence is an absence of self. And when you're in the silence and self is not there, you create an opening through which God can appear. So do not be afraid of any inner visitation. The greater degree of unfoldment that you receive in this work, the greater will be the inner revelation of an individual nature coming to you. You will receive your individual unfoldment from God, and God will appear to you in an individual way. Yes. One person tells me, I had a spiritual experience in which I felt reality as omnipresence. Another person says, I had a spiritual experience in which Joel Goldsmith appeared to me. I had one person tell me I had a spiritual experience in which you appeared to me. It's all about consciousness and God appearing as. So, so far as I am concerned, the healing of disease, the healing of sin, the healing of poverty are only the proof that the message of omnipresence is true. The healing of the body is not the main function of the infinite way. The purpose of the infinite way is to make God evident and real to you individually as a living experience. God is a living experience. God is a living person and power, not person in our sense of person, but God in an infinite individuality to be realized by each one of us. Abraham called God friend. We can live and move and have our being 24 hours a day in God consciousness or in the conscious awareness of the presence. That is the purpose of the infinite way. Okay, did you catch that? The purpose of the infinite way is to live and move and have your being 24 hours a day in God consciousness. The health, the wealth, the harmony, the peace, and the joy always accompany the consciousness of the presence of God. And so you don't seek the health, the wealth, the abundance. You seek the consciousness of the presence of God. I don't know how it manifests. I don't know what goes on in the invisible. But I know. As much as I know, I am here right now touching this table and this keyboard. I know the conscious awareness of God always appears as harmony of one form or another. So Abraham called God friend, and Jesus called God Father. Ramakrishna called God Mother Kali. The Quakers call God Father Mother. In whatever form these people have realized God, they realize it not as a name, but as an actual experience to which they gain the name Father, Friend, Father Mother, or Mother. It was an actual experience which took place in their consciousness, like the descent of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, an experience in which they then gave the name God or Father Mother. What we have been doing in our religious life has been merely to say the names Father, Mother, God, and Christ, without actually having had the experience of God in our inner being, all of which is but a hollow shell. Now, if you're praying and meditating, and really all you're doing is thinking, then you will experience a hollow shell. The purpose and message of the infinite way is to make God a living reality, so that whether you close your eyes or open your eyes, you will always have the sense and feeling of this divine presence guiding, leading, directing, and instructing you. Well, that is pretty wonderful. Okay, so what did we learn this week? we learn one more time that God doesn't move. You cannot pray to get God to do something that God isn't being right now. Well, then, what must happen? I must move. I must move out of the way. First in my meditation, knowing that God is manifesting itself omnipresently, omnipotently, and ever available. Then, as I practice that in my meditation, one time I accidentally let go. I'm standing there, I'm still, I'm quiet, and I let go. And into the vacuum rushes this omnipresence. And as he says, I feel it. I feel omnipresence. And then I practice it again and again and again. And one day I'm driving down the road and suddenly I feel that omnipresence enter into me as the Spirit descends. And I don't know why, I just know it's there. I know I love it. I know I love the experience. And I say, thank you, Father. And the most amazing thing happens. My day unfolds harmoniously from one thing to the next to the next. It's beautiful. Synchronicity. Everything falls into place. I'm in the right place at the right time. The right words come to me. Life is not a struggle. It's an unfolding of harmonious omnipresence. In my experience, because it's in my consciousness, and I'm consciously aware of it. You see, it's we that must move away from self into the conscious awareness of the living God. Okay, let us be still for a moment and see if there's anything that needs to be said. Just a few notices here. I will not be making a talk on Thanksgiving weekend or Christmas weekend or New Year's weekend. Those will be weekends I'll take off. Doesn't mean I won't be remembering God's presence or remembering you. It means I won't be putting this microphone on and making this talk, or making a talk. Well, the temperatures are getting cooler. The leaves are changing or have changed. And so winter is on the way. I hope you stay warm, as I will. And I must say thank you again. You draw out of me things I don't even know I know until I say them. So thank you so very much for bringing your consciousness to this experience. Thank you. I love you. And God's blessing be upon you. Okay.